And afterwards we sing in response Psalm 144, stanzas 2, 5 and 6. Psalm 144, 2, 5 and 6, after the preaching of the gospel. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, there was once a church that needed a new pastor, but that church did not advertise a position vacant and wait for an applicant, nor did that church appoint a calling committee or a search committee to research ministers in other churches to call one of them. No. Instead, this particular church, which was looking for a minister, sent a search committee down to the local fishing hole. For a whole week, every evening, that search committee talked to those fishermen and checked out their fishing style to see who was the best fisherman. And at the end of the week, the man who they judged to be the best fisherman was called to be the new minister of the church. Because what is the job of a minister, really? And what is a preacher actually supposed to do? In our text, does Jesus not take four fishermen? And does Jesus not promise that Jesus will turn those fishermen into fishers of men? Obviously, the Lord connects the art of fishing to the task of preaching and mission work and evangelizing. Jesus says, preaching, doing mission work, talking to your neighbors about the gospel here in Chilliwack, it's all just like going fishing. I preach to you this morning the gospel of your salvation under the following theme: the Lord turns fishermen into fishers of men. And we pay attention to 3 points. The Lord gives instructions for catching fish. Then Peter protests that he cannot catch fish. And the Lord guarantees success in catching fish. The Lord turns fishermen into fishers of men. We see first how the Lord gives instructions for catching fish. Now, to understand what's happening in our text, we need to take a step back and we need to take three different stories about Jesus calling his disciples, and we need to put those three stories together in order from first to last. We understand four men: Andrew, Peter, James and John. They were living in Galilee, and their fishing was their family business. And then what happened first? First, the Gospel of John tells us how from their home in Galilee, Andrew and Peter went to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, through John the Baptist, Andrew and Peter met Jesus. The story we read in the Gospel of John that happened first. But then afterwards follows the story which Matthew tells us. Andrew and Peter, they went away from Jerusalem. They went back home to Galilee. And in Galilee, they were working with their dad on the fishing boat. Until one day the Lord came to Galilee. The Lord came walking along the beach. And then the Lord called Andrew and Peter. At the same time, the Lord also called James and John. And so these four men, they follow Jesus. And then later still, Luke 5. Our text for this morning shows us that Peter, Andrew, James and John did not learn so quickly. They followed Jesus, but not for very long. Instead, they soon went back to the fishing boat again. And how can we blame them? It's one thing to follow Jesus for a few days. It's one thing to hear him teach, to think about what he says. It's interesting, a break from your regular routine. But who would give up his career? Who would give up his family business to follow Jesus full time? Peter, Andrew, James and John were all quite happy to follow Jesus in their free time between jobs when they did not need to work. But now, in our text, something changes. In our text, Jesus does a miracle and he changes the minds, he changes the hearts, he changes totally the lives of these four disciples, and he changes it forever. From now on, until the day when Jesus is crucified, these men will not even look at a fishing boat. Instead, they are disciples of Jesus. That's their calling. In our text, Jesus changes four men who were fishermen, following Jesus in his spare time. Jesus makes them full-time disciples, full-time trainee apostles. So this is what our text is about. In the beginning, it looks like just another ordinary day. The Lord stands by the lake. He's teaching, but the crowds are all pushing, and so on the edge of the lake, the Lord sees a couple of fishing boats. And nearby, the Lord sees a couple of fishermen who have just come back from their night fishing. They are still cleaning the nets. And the Lord knows that these fishermen are tired. The Lord understands that these fishermen, they've been working all night. They want to go home and get some sleep. But does the Lord care? Is the Lord considerate of their needs? He says, Peter, I need your boat for a pulpit. And, Peter, I also need you to push the boat out a little bit from shore. And then the Lord stands in the boat and he preaches. Peter, poor Peter, cannot go home. He cannot go to bed and catch up on his sleep. Instead, Peter has to sit in the boat and wait and wait until the Lord is done. The Lord has got a job to do. Peter, tough for you. Live with it. And even after that, even after the Lord has finished teaching, when the crowds go home, even then, Peter still may not go home and climb into his bed. Instead, the Lord commands Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And now try to understand this from Peter's point of view, brothers and sisters. Peter is a professional fisherman. And what does the Lord know about fishing? Doesn't the Lord understand that the best time to catch fish is at night? And yet, Peter obeys. Even if Peter is an expert, even though Peter knows exactly how it ought to be done, still Peter obeys. Because Peter has heard the Lord teach. He has seen some of the Lord's miracles. Peter believes that the Lord is somebody special. And so Peter does exactly what Jesus says. And when Peter does this, Peter is qualified to be a fisher of men, brothers and sisters. Now Peter knows what it takes. The Lord said, Peter, I need your boat. Peter did not object. The Lord said, Peter, I need your time. Peter gave it without grumbling. And even when the Lord commanded Peter to do something absurd, like cast out your net in broad daylight, even then, Peter obeyed. Yes, Peter obeyed. Because Peter trusted the Lord. Because Peter believed that the Lord knows what he's doing. And so Peter obeys unconditionally. And this is still what it means to be Christian, brothers and sisters. The Lord says to Peter in our text, "You think that you need rest? My work is always more important." The Lord says, "Peter, you have got a boat. You have got other things that belong to you, that you paid for with your own money. Peter, I need them, and I expect that you will make them available to me." And when you have to make decisions for your life, when it seems that my commandment is absurd, when it seems that what I said makes no sense, Peter, then obey me unconditionally. Just doing what God says. That is being disciples. That is being Christians. It's not always easy, but it's not rocket science. It's not complicated. It does not take a lot of brain power to figure out. Just obey, says Jesus. It is as simple as that. And then it is true, brothers and sisters, it is true. Sometimes the Lord asks quite a bit from us. The work that needs to be done in a church, the sacrifices that need to be made in time and money and energy, sometimes the sacrifices seem great. But, hey, what happens when Peter does what Jesus says? As soon as Peter throws the net into the water, the Lord immediately fills it with fish. In this way, the Lord promises. The Lord promises. He says, "If you obey me, then I will bless you." And then it is true. The Lord will ask much of his disciples. They must leave their fishing boats and their homes. They must leave their families. They will be persecuted, beaten. Some of them will even be put to death. But they will never have to worry about food or drink. They will never have to worry about anything, because the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who they follow, he is the Son of God, and he has the whole creation in his hand. He provides for all his children by his almighty power. And this is the ultimate lesson which the disciples must learn, and which you and I must learn as well. Being Christians means living for the Lord. Living for the Lord. It means putting all your eggs in one basket, and that is the service of God. Being Christians, it's so simple. Just listen to his word. Do what he says. Because we have his sure promise. If we are Christians, we will never be put to shame. Instead, he will be with us. He will walk beside us. He will embrace us, care for us, comfort us, encourage us, give us what we need. Serve him, and he will reward you richly. Now that the disciples have learned this, they are ready to take up their new careers. They are ready to become fishers of men. But still, Peter will protest that he cannot do this work. We will pay attention to this protest in our second point. When Peter's net is miraculously filled with fish, Peter knows that this is a miracle of the Lord. Yes, Peter knows this is a miracle, and it is from the Lord. We can see this when we go back to verse 5, where the Lord told Peter to put out the nets. Then Peter answered, Master, at your word I will let down the nets. Master, I will. But after the net is miraculously filled with fish, Peter falls down on his knees. And then Peter says, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Lord, not master anymore, but Lord. And now this difference. This difference with Peter at first called Jesus Master. But now Peter says, Lord. This difference is very important, brothers and sisters. Because now Peter believes that Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, is the Lord. The Lord God who has authority over all creatures. The Lord God who controls even the fish of the sea. Peter is starting to grasp the awesome reality that Jesus is more than flesh and blood. Jesus stands far above this whole world. Jesus is God, but Peter is only a sinner. And for Peter, this connection between God and a sinful man, this connection is impossible. And so Peter really means it when he says, Lord, depart from me, because I am a sinful man. And this request to depart from me, this is more than a request that Jesus move away. Peter means, Lord, have nothing to do with me. Peter understands that the Lord wants to give him a job. And Peter answers, Lord, you want to involve me in your salvation work? You want to use me for your eternal purpose? To bring sinners to faith? To bring people together in the unity of faith? Lord, do you want to use me? Forget it, Lord. I cannot do that. I am not the right kind of person for that. I don't have the qualifications. Lord, please find somebody else. Find somebody who is more capable, better qualified, more faithful than me. Lord, do you know me? I cannot do that. Again, this protest of Peter that he is totally unsuitable. This protest, it proves even more that Peter is ready. Peter is the right man for the job. Because Peter confesses his weakness. He confesses his unsuitability. Peter understands that he cannot do it by himself. And of course, when Peter understands that he cannot do it by himself, then Peter must pray. Then Peter must rely on the strength of the Lord instead. This is the most important qualification for every fisherman, that he relies on the Lord. But this is also the requirement for every office bearer in the church. Oh, elders and deacons need some kind of training, true. We all need to learn to live as children of God, true. We need to learn. But the purpose of all our training can never be that we learn to do it by ourselves. No, the purpose must be that we learn to depend more and more, to depend better and better on Jesus Christ. Because when we stop thinking we can do it by ourselves, when we stop trying to do it by our own power, then we can serve in faith. And then God does what we cannot do by ourselves. Then God does his work in us. And for us, and through us, God's work, and he does it through us. So again, we need to consider, beloved congregation, with what attitude we do our work in the kingdom of God. I mean, as parents, when we raise our children. And I mean, as office bearers, where we take care of God's congregation. It happens so often that we become comfortable in what we do. Our children obey us. Our financial situation is comfortable. We do our thing for the church and for the school, and we have the impression that we are succeeding quite well. Everybody in the church kind of respects us. We've got it made. When all that happens, we know nothing about what it means to be Christians. Because the Christian faith is not about what we have achieved. No, the Christian faith is all about dependence on God. Just depend on God. As parents, we learn the hard way that we depend totally on God. As family, as church community, as school community, we can do nothing if we depend on ourselves or even on each other. No, we depend on God. So let our attitude be that of Peter. No, not in the sense that we want God to have nothing to do with us, but in the sense that we know that we cannot do very much for God. And if today we are humble, if today we confess that we cannot do anything by ourselves, remember what happened to Peter 3 years later at the Last Supper. Remember that the Lord told his disciples that he would be arrested and all his disciples would run away. And then Peter said, "No, Lord, even if they all run away, I will stay with you." Then Peter was confident of his own strength. And so Peter had to be brought back down to earth. God wants us all to know ourselves for what we are, to confess our weakness, our sinfulness, our dependence on our Heavenly Father. That is what it means to be Christian. And when we know ourselves to be weak, when we depend fully on the Lord, then he does what we could never do by ourselves. We see that in our third point. The Lord tells Peter and Andrew, James and John that from now on they will be catching men. Catching men. Of course, for now, the emphasis is still on preparation and training. But the career change of the four men takes place now. We read that in verse 11. They pull their boats up on shore. They leave everything and they follow Jesus. A new chapter in the life begins here and now. So these fishermen will become fishers of men. And then we should understand the work of elders in the church is described in different ways in the Bible. The work of elders, in one parable, preaching, is compared to sowing seed. The elder goes out on home visits and he sows seed. In another parable, the preacher is compared to a servant who invites people to come to a feast. Again, preaching, inviting people to serve the Lord, inviting people to the heavenly feast. But in our text, the Lord compares the work of office bearers to fishing. Missionaries, ministers, elders, in fact, all Christians who want to talk to their neighbours about their faith, in a sense, we're all fishermen. This means, of course, if we're fishermen, the people who we talk to or who we preach to are all like fish. And now before we say any more about those fish, let's just go back to those fishermen for a moment. Just last night, Peter and Andrew, James and John went fishing. And these men, they were professional fishermen. They thought that they could make a living by catching fish. They knew exactly how to do it. You put in the net. You move away from the net. You stir up the water. You drive the fish towards the net. That's how you catch fish. They knew how to do it. But when they tried it, when they did it exactly according to the book, when they tried every trick in the book, they failed miserably. They did not catch even one fish. But today, they threw the net into the water without thinking, and it was immediately filled with fish. This is the bottom line. When you fish, you can work as hard as you like. You can try every trick, every kind of bait, every gimmick, every kind of hook, whatever you want. Try what you like. But you are never guaranteed any results. You can do everything exactly how it ought to be done, but the outcome is beyond your control. Fishing is risky business, isn't it? And now let's go back to the other side of the story. Let's talk about those fish. If preaching is like fishing, then people like you who listen to the preaching, you are compared to fish. Not a very nice comparison, I admit. Because it means when you sit in church, when you hear the preaching, the minister is like a fisherman. He's trying to catch you. Like a fisherman trying to drag you into a net. If somebody would walk into this church building from off the street, if we would tell them, we are plotting to catch you in our nets, people would be offended. We don't like the idea of other people plotting and scheming to catch us. No, we want to be free to make our own choices. But then our text gives the answer to the fishermen and to the fish. Our text gives the answer to the preacher and to all those who hear the preaching. The Lord says, catching fish is a miracle. From the point of view of the minister, or from the point of view of the disciples, fishing is no longer an uncertain business. No more working nights on end, worrying about whether they will actually catch anything. Instead, for the fishermen, the catch is guaranteed because the Lord drives fish into the net. The disciples don't have to think about how to fish because the Lord knows how to catch fish. And that means when the disciples start fishing for men, they can be confident that their nets will not remain empty because the Lord will drive people into the nets. The Lord will bring people to faith. That is true for ministers who preach. It is true for elders who make home visits. It's true for parents who raise children. It's true for Christians who talk to their neighbours. We cannot bring people to faith. But God can, and God does. God is the ultimate fisherman. And from the point of view of those people who are being compared to fish, our text teaches us that fish can only be caught when the Lord drives them into the net. Fish can only be caught when the Lord drives them into the net. That means nobody will ever be tricked into believing the gospel. No. Instead, if we believe the gospel, then it was the Lord. It was the Lord who drove us into his net. Because the Lord alone works faith. The Lord alone builds his church. Fishermen can stir up the water. They can try to drive fish towards the net. And the fish, they might try desperately to get away. The Lord does not stir up movement around the fish. No, instead the Lord creates movement inside the hearts, inside the minds, inside the will of the fish. The Lord drives them into the net by his divine power. Through the preaching of the gospel, the Lord turns our hearts so that we look for the net of his salvation. We seek out his grace and the forgiveness of our sins. The fisherman who throws out the net, he depends on the working of the Lord. The preacher who preaches the gospel depends on the working of the Lord. And on the other side of the story, the fish who are caught in the net, that is, the people who believe the preaching, they also depend on the working of the Lord. The disciples cannot catch fish, but God can. Preachers cannot bring people to faith, but God can. The fishermen and the fish, the preacher and those who sit under the preaching, we all depend not on human power, but on the power of God. He alone changes hearts. He alone catches fish. And finally, there is one more difference between people who are taken captive by the gospel and fish that are caught in the net of Simon Peter in our text. Because the fish that are caught in the lake of Gennesaret, just like the fish that you catch in your holidays, those fish are killed and eaten. But the people who are caught in the net of the gospel, those people are free from their sins and they get to live forever. And for this reason, beloved congregation, when Peter and Andrew spend a whole night fishing, but they catch nothing, that is not a coincidence. And when the Lord calls Peter to help him, the Lord commandeers Peter's boat. The Lord commands Peter to go fishing in broad daylight. The Lord is training Peter to work. How? According to God's program. The Lord says, I call on you when I need you. And everything that you have is mine. If I need it, I hold out my hand. I ask, and you will give it to me. And God asks the same of you and of me. But the Lord also promises, my children, if you do this, I will bless you. I will provide for you so that there is nothing left for you to worry about anymore. In our second point, we saw that Peter knew his own sinfulness. Peter thought that his sinfulness disqualified him from his God-given task. But God uses people. God uses people who know their own sinfulness and their own weakness and who depend on him. In our third point, we saw that preaching the gospel and fishing have got a lot in common. God controls fish and brings fish into the net of the fisherman when it pleases him. God also controls our hearts, and God moves our hearts. God brings us to faith and salvation as it pleases him. Next time you go fishing, think about this and talk about this, because this is the gospel of eternal life, and this has got everything to do with our daily life. Amen.